Armed forces backed by a Saudi Arabian-led coalition and Houthi rebels backed by Iran has led to thousands of deaths from hunger and cholera. This week, images were published of a 12-year-old girl who weighed just 10 kilograms when she was carried into a clinic by her sister. Oxfam Ireland's humanitarian manager Colin Byrne is in Yemen, where he's been conducting a site visit. He spoke to me from the capital Sana'a a short while ago and has been telling me what he has seen.
Well, I've been in a town of Shafar in northwestern Yemen, from where Oxfam is responding to the needs of people who've been displaced from conflict in and around the port city of Hodeida. What we have seen and what we see all across the country is following 4 years of conflict, is essentially an economy that's collapsed. We have seen severe food shortages. We see restrictions on the importation of food and the transport of food and aid across the country. We've seen a collapse of public services. We've seen a lot of businesses have been closed. It's reckoned that about a third of all businesses have been forced to close, and half have been forced to shrink. So what we're seeing is an economy and a society which is in an extreme state of stress, and, as you may have heard elsewhere, forewarnings of famine.
And I understand, with so many people displaced, that there are families gathered in small, loose groups on the edges of urban areas, which is particularly difficult for displaced women who have no privacy and no sanitation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to say is the fact that people are dispersed so broadly across many of the areas makes it quite difficult to respond. And the reason actually they're so dispersed is that they're afraid to gather in groups. Because on previous occasions, groups of people who have been displaced have been targeted as part of the conflict. As you say, it is particularly difficult for women and girls as well because of cultural issues. Women and girls in Yemeni society are not very visible. And the protection of their dignity, particularly around the use of latrines and menstrual hygiene, is of great concern. And so it's quite challenging to make sure that they're provided with the right type of assistance and a form of assistance that is culturally appropriate and acceptable to them.
And Colm, there is a serious food shortage in certain areas. 80% of people are said to be living below the poverty line. What factors are causing this food shortage? There are a number of them.
There are a number of factors. I suppose the first thing to say is that 80% of the country's food is actually imported. And as part of the conflict, many of the major ports, and particularly the port of Hodeida, have been blocked. And therefore, effectively what's happening is food is not getting into the country. You also have limits in terms of the food that is available in country. You have limits on the movement of food and the movement of food aid across the country. And then you have the collapse of the economy more broadly. So you have high levels of unemployment because businesses have been closed. And you have many civil servants who are not being paid. And it's estimated there are about 1 million civil servants who haven't been paid because of the conflict and the collapse of the banking sector. And in effect, what that means is that people don't have enough money to purchase food. And then as food becomes more scarce, the food becomes more expensive. So you're hit from both sides. And as a consequence, people simply can neither access nor actually physically able to purchase food because they simply don't have the resources to do it.
And as you say, a big problem is that Yemen does not grow much food itself. It's almost all imported.
Yes, and you know, it's striking as you drive across the country just how dry and arid it is. And they do have, you know, all across the mountains, you can see centuries of terracing that is specially designed to collect water for agriculture. But most of the food is actually imported. And in the absence of that food being able to get to people who really need it, it's really difficult to see how people are going to survive in the longer term.
Now, we did see some more distressing images from Yemen this week. How are you finding the people that you've seen? How are they physically?
People are resilient, but they are suffering. Everybody is, I won't say gaunt, but they are thin. And that is very evident. You know, and in this day and age, for us to be talking about a famine, and as I say, this isn't a famine because of a drought or a flood. This is a famine because of a conflict. This is effectively, we're tinkering on the brink of a man-made famine for which in this day and age, there is simply no excuse.
And the fighting that's causing this continues across the country. Are there any real efforts to end it?
There have been many efforts over the past 4 years to try and end this conflict, and there was some offer of hope before Christmas when a meeting in Sweden led to some agreement around a cessation of hostilities and a withdrawal of forces and an opening up of transport routes, as well as a prisoner exchange, which we hoped would improve the situation. That ceasefire has been quite complicated and has not been enforced well, and we had certainly seen signs of it having been broken. So there is fighting still ongoing. It's sporadic, but in truth, it's very difficult to monitor simply because not all of us have access everywhere. And our movements and the movements of as I said, food and aid is quite restricted. And that's a big part of the challenge.
And as Oxfam has also pointed out, UK and US arms sales to Yemen as part of this proxy conflict in the region is feeding the misery.
Yeah, and it's, the irony is that you have the very states that are providing aid to Yemen are also the same states that are providing arms to the parties to the conflict. And then that's something that we are advocating strongly against. And we have seen some, and we're very pleased as Oxfam with the level of support we've received from the general public in terms of our campaigning against the sale of arms and violations of the International Arms Trade Treaty. And we've seen some successes with some European states having suspended the sale of arms to Saudi Arabia, which is one of the parties to the conflict here supporting the Ebony government. And we have seen decisions in the US House of Representatives, and we've seen strong levels of advocacy in the UK and all across Europe.
So some movement there, but just not fast enough.
Well, no, not fast enough. And really what we need at this stage is, you know, regardless of the issue around arms sales, what we really need immediately is a cessation of hostilities. We need an opening up of those ports so that food can get in. We need improved humanitarian access, and we need a really, a broad and inclusive process of dialogue and consultation that includes all members of Yemeni society that allows some form of conflict resolution in the short term and the long term, a sustainable peace.
And that was Oxfam Ireland's humanitarian manager Colin Byrne speaking to me from Sana'a in Yemen just before we came on air this afternoon.